The following teaching is the second in a series of 12 on the Book of Exodus presented by the Reverend John W. Howe. The title is, What If Pharaoh Had Said Yes? And the scripture reference is Exodus chapters 5 through 12.
We'll come back to the Book of Exodus again tonight. Chapter 5, we'll come to that in just a minute. You may remember that last week we were looking at the fact that when Israel came up against the Red Sea in their exodus to freedom, it was not because they had somehow miscalculated or blundered. You remember that? But rather, God very specifically told them to turn around and led them into a position of complete defenselessness. God did it very clearly. They didn't have to do it. God told them, come do it. And the reason was that at that particular point in the story, the focus really wasn't on Israel at all. They thought it was. But the focus at that point was on the Egyptians, and what God was up to was laying a trap for the Egyptians, and Israel was the bait. I want to look at another passage tonight that really illustrates the same thing the other way around. That God is here dealing with Egypt in a way that leads to Israel's blessing. Chapter 5 of the Book of Exodus. This is earlier on in the story. This is way at the beginning of Moses coming before Pharaoh. And says, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should heed his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray, a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. I wonder if it's ever struck you that their eventual celebration was not because they had escaped Egypt, but rather they were commanded to go celebrate, and therefore they had to get out of Egypt. Do you catch the difference? The celebration wasn't because of the Exodus. The Exodus was because of the celebration. God said, go celebrate. See? And in order to do that, you got to get out of Egypt. You catch that? That's rather interesting. The point of the celebration is not because of the Exodus, but the Exodus becomes necessary in order to celebrate. When we finish this building, you better believe we're going to celebrate, okay? But we're not going to celebrate because we finished the building. God said, build a building in order to celebrate. You follow me? You get the difference? Now, immediately Pharaoh begins to harden his heart. Don't you love that comment? He says very plainly, I do not know the Lord. And therefore, why should I let you go? I'm not interested in that. Some of you I know can begin to identify with Moses at this point. You're thinking of your employer. So I know that's so. Some of you have become Christians and your employer does not know the Lord, right? And you know... Thank you, Priscilla. Amen corner over here. Isn't it an ironic thing that you've become a Christian, maybe you've just recently become a Christian, and you're already aware that some things are beginning to happen inside of you that are going to make you a better employee. You're going to be more honest. You're going to be more conscientious. You're going to be more industrious. You're going to be more productive. Not primarily because you're serving your employer, you're serving your true employer in heaven, and he tells you to do those things, and so you're offering that secular job, whatever it is, up to him, Your boss is getting blessed, right? And what does he do? Makes it tougher. Is that anybody have that experience? Your employer doesn't know the Lord, see? And if you should happen to let it drop that you're doing this because of the Lord, somehow that really irritates him. You know? I can just hear somebody's boss saying, you want to leave early on Friday afternoon in order to go to a church service. You're not leaving early on Friday afternoon. As a matter of fact, from now on, the weekly report is going to be on my desk before you go home, not first thing Monday morning. Right? And by the way, no more long-distance phone calls on the company's bill. Because it irritates him that you've got another authority in your life, even though that authority is making you a better employee. The king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get to your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. You want to take time off to go celebrate. Check you, Charlie. The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, but the number of bricks which they made heretofore you shall lay upon them. You shall by no means lessen it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and offer sacrifice to God. Let heavier work be laid upon the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to their lying words. Does that sound vaguely familiar to some of you? What's God doing? He's giving them a crash course in holiness. Because the character that he would build into us needs to be exercised, just like any muscle of our body. And here they are trying to be responsive to God, and rather than everybody kind of making that easy for them, the more they try to be responsive to God, the harder it becomes. That's called Holiness 101. And it didn't do all that well at their lesson, by the way, but God is patient. Consider just this. Suppose that Pharaoh's initial response, the first time Moses comes in and asks, can we go and have this celebration? Suppose that Pharaoh's response was, I'd be delighted. All you nice, dear Jewish people have been working so hard building my pyramids that I would just be thrilled to give you some time off to go and have your celebration. Now, let's see. It's you say 3 days out and 1 day to celebrate and 3 days back. I'll see you in a week. That's all it would have taken. And they would have been duty-bound to come back. Did that ever run through your mind? That if Pharaoh had said yes to the initial request, they would have been back in Egypt for who knows how much longer. He allowed Pharaoh to harden his heart, to harden it and harden it and harden it, make it tougher and tougher, until finally when the dam broke, they're not away for a week, they never go back. Isn't that exciting? It's marvelous to read how this thing unfolds. After four plagues, Pharaoh says, okay, you can sacrifice, but do it here in Egypt. Not into the wilderness. Go ahead and have your celebration, but do it on company time. Don't go to church. After eight plagues, he says, all right, you can go out into the wilderness, but the men only. Women and children stay here. After nine plagues, he says, men, women, and children may go, but keep your herds and flocks here. After 10 plagues, he says, go. And I love Moses in chapter 10. Moses says, we will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and our daughters. We will go with our flocks and our herds. We will go, and not one hoof will be left behind. And that's exactly the way it was. And God so opened the way for them that the rich in Egypt heaped treasure upon them as they left. Doesn't that encourage you? You know the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? I got a much better one than that. When the going gets tough, the tough begin to celebrate. That's what it's about. If we will not be deterred in our determination to honor God, to celebrate, we don't care who gets in the way, what gets in the way. We're going to be godly in our responses to those in authority over us, but we're not going to be deterred from this. Whatever happens, we're going to keep the appointment. We're going to keep the feast. We're going to celebrate. And we ain't going back to Egypt no more. The peace of the Lord be always with you.